Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Man on planet Earth is given a day of the year in which mothers are honored. But every day, to you, they are someone special, as to us. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus and everything that you have on the forefront, on the agenda for their lives, I pray that it will come into fruition. I pray that the blessings over their bodies, I pray that the blessings over their souls, I pray that what they're carrying in their hearts for their families, Lord, to wayward children or those that need healing and ministry, I pray that you'll grant the greatest desires of their heart, and that is to see their home come into the fullness of God. Bless these mothers now. Touch them. Give them that assurance. If there's any sickness among them, Lord, we speak the life of God into them. If there's any depression and fear, anxiety, I pray that not only now, but this will be a week of you beginning to do things like we have never seen before. And you'll do it in these mothers. I bless them now. I speak life over them. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many are glad that Gary and Sue Carpenter are here? Hallelujah. If he goes the direction, if the Holy Spirit has him go the direction that I've heard recently, it is going to be good on top of good. Hallelujah. So he's just family, so we don't have to say a whole lot because family's family. But would you give him a great big hand once again? Amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Boy, y'all are looking good today. I'm telling you what. Now, my 91-year-old mother, we still have with her with us. She's doing really well. We all wish we had a mind as sharp as hers. The people at our church are always asking, you know, they want to help, you know. They say, well, can we come and clean your mother's house, you know? I say, well, what do you want to do? Alphabetize her cereal boxes? I mean, 91 years old. She takes care of her house. The house is spotless. Everything's dusted, you know. And she does have that macular degeneration now. She can't drive and she can't see your faces real well, but she gets around good. She was saying the other day, though, she's going, you know, if I could see, I could get me a job. Y'all need a blessing. Where's that microphone go that you had? I think your eyes need to be a blessing or be blessed. I want you to see how beautiful my wife is. Hallelujah. I want you to greet the people and say, hey, and preach and cast out devils, and then I'll talk.
Oh, I'm just so glad to be here. I'm just so glad you guys are here, too. I really am. We have just been waiting so long for this. It's good to see all the familiar faces, and I hope to get to meet a lot of you that aren't so familiar, your faces. I love this church. I love Pastor Bronk and Candy. I loved the way he took up the offering. I just love it.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you some of the things I love about Candy, but it has to do with her sense of humor a lot. That we're just so glad to be here. We just feel so blessed to meet with the body of Christ in Immokalee.
Yeah,
we just
my home.
Yes. I just wish you could all come to Tulsa and visit us there. These family reunions that we have only once a year sometimes don't cut it, you know. When you're with family that you really love, you really want to get together with more than once a year. We never did have family reunions on my side, but we did on Gary's once a year, just like clockwork. I mean, some of them you wouldn't even recognize, you know, and you'd have to learn all over again how they were related to which person and how they were related to Gary, and I never could remember. But when you meet with the body of Christ, it's so totally different. You have everything in common through Jesus. See, you can just talk together about all the things that are going on, about what God is doing in your family. Didn't you love the way Pastor Bronk prayed over the mothers? And what's in their hearts are always their families. That's what's on their heart. That's what they care about day after day after day, is seeing that their children, and it doesn't matter how old they get, it never does, to see that their children are walking with Jesus and not in deception and receiving things from Him that they need, and just living a life full of joy and that peace that He gives that they're never able to receive from the world, no matter where they search for it, no matter how long, no matter. Anyway, women are like that. Mothers are like that. They always want a good mother and one that's sold out to Jesus, wants the very best that God has for their kids. They want them to receive it, and they want it now. Well, by the time you reach a certain age, you look back and I don't want it to take as long for my children to get to this place as it took me. I don't want them to have to wait so long to find out all that Jesus bought and paid for us to have, and the victory that He meant for each person to have. I don't want my children to wait as long as it took me to walk in that freedom and know His goodness, and just know that no matter what you face every day of your life, that He's got the answer to victory, and it always is victory. Jesus didn't pay for anything else but victory. And He paid for it, for us to walk in it, everything that came our way, every situation we faced, every difficulty, everything. Only total victory for His people. But anyway, I'm just so glad to be here, and I'm so glad to see your faces. And I know that God will be able to give to you everything that you need for your next step on the path that He's called you to. I know it. The wisdom that you need, the guidance. You keep your heart just open. Just keep your reaching out to Him. God, I want everything You have for me. I want to receive everything You've got for me at these meetings. Amen. And just work in me, both to will and to do, for Your good pleasure, to fulfill that work of faith with power. See? And you keep your heart in that position. And God will give you such clear instructions sometimes. Or sometimes it's just sometimes it's by words. Sometimes it's by a picture flashing in your mind. Sometimes it's just a knowing what you're supposed to do next. But He will do it. He's more interested in you fulfilling your call. He cares more about it than you do, as much as you might care. Okay? We love you. We just thank you so much for having us. And we'll talk to you later, okay? Bye. I'll sit down now.
Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you right now, my wife can preach. My wife can teach. And before this week is out, if you need a healing, I highly recommend you let her get her hands on you. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
We got a strong healing anointing in Jesus' name. Well, Bronk is a man of great faith, and you know why I know that? There's no clock on the back of this church, really. So, collectively, all of you are people of great faith, but I'm having mercy on you. I'm taking notice of when I start here. So, hallelujah. We just had a conference up in Ohio with Jim Martin. Pastor Dave was there. Bronk, he exhorted over many of the offerings, and people were just astounded. The comments I would get was not only about Dave, you know, people talk when Dave comes, right? You know, oh my God, the love and the miracles and all of that, and that the teaching anointing was real strong. Dave, Jim did some of the teaching. I did some of the teaching. But I heard more comments, I think, over the offerings that Pastor Bronk did. They were going, who is that guy? You know, my God, I've never heard of things like this. You know, I said, yeah, I've never heard it like that. I said, well, that's my personal friend. Bronk. Grandpa, I should have said it. I didn't, but it's a Grandpa Bronk Flint. Hallelujah. His grandma and grandpa thing's the best job going, isn't it? I'm telling you, I love this. You know, to see at my age now, you know, our little Cole and Lily come over, and little Lily comes, a little blue-eyed blonde girl. She, Papa, can I have an ice cream cone? And I said, yeah. And a little while later, can I have another one? Yeah. A little while later, at my age now, three ice cream cones seem perfectly reasonable to me. You know? I don't see anything wrong with that at all, neither does Lily. We got a good thing going here. And I send them home to her mom and daddy. It's a wonderful thing. And they're going, what did you do to our children? Man, you're going, you're on a sugar high all over the place, you know? I love this job. It's a great job. Hallelujah. Okay, yes, sir. Okay, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Put a marker in Luke 15. The reason I was saying that about the conference, too, the revelation just poured forth like I've never... I mean, I've been around this a long time. I'm seeing things in a way that I haven't seen them before. Listen, revelation knowledge truly is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Dave, when we first started, he was always saying it like this, and it's so correct. He said, you know, we want the roof questions. You know, we're going, God, I want to know the answer to this, and I want to know the answer to this, and they're big, major questions, you know, and they're like a roof question. And he's going, it's not that I don't want to answer that. You know, it's not that I don't want to tell you that, but son, you've got no walls of revelation built that will support that roof, you know, and so we want to skip ahead. We want to jump over and just tell me this. And it's not that he's withholding it, really. From an engineering point of view, he explained it to me like this. You know, if I was suddenly to land in, the land down under, Australia, or the Aborigines, and, you know, they've only know what they've learned growing up in the wilderness there. They don't know anything about electricity. They don't know anything about electronics or dynamics or thrust. And, you know, you're on a mission to explain jet propulsion to an Aborigine. Where do you begin? They don't know 2 + 2 = 4. So you're trying to explain a jet airplane to someone like that. You know, where do you start? Shiny? Go fast. You know, just, you know, we're trying to do that with God. God, I don't understand why when I pray, they didn't get out of the wheelchair. I don't know why, God. And he's going, shiny? And I'm just going to go ahead and say this too. Bronk, myself, Jim Martin, and others that I could name, and the women, the wives as well. All of us, Pastor Dave is in some way our spiritual father. We all first received the revelation stones that it took him 30 years praying and meditating the Word. What I'm talking about is his website, daveroberson.org. Might be com, might be both. But all of those teaching series there, see, there's not one of them that Bronk hasn't listened to. There's not one of them that I haven't listened to. I have all of those stones. We have those. We're not missing one. We've got all of those revelations in us. And I want to recommend to you, now you may have been around this a long time, and you just go look at it. Look at. I'm not talking about the weekly services so much. I'm talking about the series that are there, like Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God. If that's not part of your, if that's not in your wall, you need that in your wall. The Love Walk, you need that. How about Tongues for the Believer? I mean, on, and if you haven't, there's the biggest one there is called The Born Again Trail. It's 6 volumes, 10 services in each volume. Now, if you have not heard all of those at least once,
already have your homework assignment for you. You don't really have anything else to do until you get those listened to. It will change your life. Say, I've been born again 25 years. I don't care. If you haven't heard that series, it will totally bless your life. But more than that, you need those stones of revelation in your wall for where we're going. Yeah, so if you don't have those, do them. Now, Bronk and Candy and myself and Jim, I haven't listened to them once. I can't even tell you how many times I've listened to many of them. To the point that I can pretty well preach most of them myself. I imagine you can too. So, you need it, okay? At least get it in you one time. Go back and get those, okay? Oh, by the way, you can afford them. They're free. Okay, they're all free, available free for download. I don't know how to download. I don't know how. There is a teenager on your block that for $10 will just do about anything you need them to do. You know, they'll make you CDs of the message. They'll do any. They'll put it on an MP3 player. You can get them now for about $30 at Walmart. You know, and so there is no excuses. Had our friend Margaret. Margaret, who's 90, same age as my mother, 91. Now, Margaret, here's how she does it. She lives in another state. Margaret goes to the library, uses their computer to get online. By her, 91 years old, goes to Dave Roberson or Bronk Flint or Gary Carpenter's website, downloads the MP3s. She knows how to take a thumb drive with her, copy the MP3s onto the thumb drive, take them home and listen to them on her computer. If Margaret can do it at age 91, I don't want to hear any excuses. Okay? And if you don't know how, there is a teenager somewhere in your family, somewhere on your block. To them, this is like the least of all things to explain. Okay, they'll help you. Hallelujah. I am going to be teaching along the same lines, I think, this week as the conference. But Bronk, you're going to like... While we're in the worship, the Lord downloaded an aspect of it I've never seen before myself, or at least not illustrated this way. Now, this isn't mandatory, but I'm just going to ask. Do we have any fold-out chairs? Is it possible to have one chair of some kind placed here? And one chair? That chair right there would work for this one. And if we could have another chair of one there and one there, that's all we need. Thank you so much. Because to illustrate this, the people there are going to be there a while, and I don't want them to have to stand the whole time. All right, now first, I've never done it quite this way myself. My job is to follow him. Is that okay with you? I'm going to let him put together the service, and we'll all find out what it is. When he first started doing with me, I tell everyone, I said, pray till you start hearing God. I said, that's when the adventure starts. And when you start really hearing him, see, doesn't that sound good? Trouble is, when you hear him, it's scary as all get out. Because he's going to ask you to do stuff outside your comfort zone. When I first started doing this, Sue knows at the Bible studies, man, I had notes and handouts and printed materials. And I mean, I had point one, point two, and point three. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. And that's okay. That is a level of teaching. That is a line upon line, precept upon precept teacher. And I love that. Jim Martin pretty much teaches that way. And see, I love it because Jim does all my homework for me. I need to know. I mean, you don't want to know about water baptism. Trust me. He has got a series already on water baptism that's probably got 8 messages in it. I mean, by the time he gets done with you, you're not only going to know every verse in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. You're going to know the Hebrew meanings, the Greek meanings, whether it's a Koine Greek or classical Greek, the tenses of the verbs, and you're going to know how it was used in history. By the time you get done, you're going, I surrender. That's it. That's what water baptism means. That's it. Okay. But see, the Lord, He has more than one type of, you know, God doesn't even make 2 snowflakes alike. None of us have the same fingerprint. So the way He told us years ago, He said, now, at one point He says, you know, I had prayed enough. I have certain revelations on the inside of me. I become like a library. I have the verses have become the notes. I heard Dave say that in the early days. I went, what in the world is he talking about? But now I know. The verse, that's the note that takes me to the revelation that he's given me over the years. And he says, now, if you'll not prearrange, you know, an agenda, a message, unless he tells me to. Now, sometimes he does. If I'm teaching at a Bible college, he might do that. But he says, like a service like this, he says, if you'll let me, trust me to pull off the revelations off the shelf. He says, you don't know these people. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're going through. But if you'll, he says, I do. And if you'll allow me to do that, I will put together a message in such a way that there won't be one person that leaves that they didn't receive something from me. And he's been doing that. It was scary, though. As scary as all get out to abandon the notes and all of that and just trust him. But I've been at it so long now, I don't hardly know how to do it any other way. Well, as we were doing the worship and everything, of course, I've been praying, and we drove down here. So I've had days. We've had days to pray and listen. And I've been rolling over this recent messages. And then during the worship service here, he starts downloading this little scenario that I've never seen. It goes right along with the teaching. But it's in a way I've never even seen it before. So let's just go with that.
Amen.
All right? So if you haven't found 1 Corinthians 15 by now, give up. You're never going to find it. Just look on to your neighbor. It's okay. I want at this point, I just want to get your mind familiar with these few verses again. We may come back to them at the end, but I want them rolling around in your meditator while we're teaching. So 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 21. 21 and 22. For since by man came death. Well, we can't start there. Back up. How about 19? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now come on over in that same chapter down to verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, notice he's not called the second Adam. There's not going to be another one. There's not another son waiting in the wings to come. There's the first Adam, and there's the last Adam. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. But now especially notice verse 45 again. And so it is written, I want you to see there's two Adams. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now let me just... I want to throw out a few revelation stones just in case you don't have this in your wall. God has only ever made two men. Okay, no stones are coming. He only ever has made two. He made the first man, Adam. Out of Adam, he formed Eve. This is Mother's Day. I always like to say, without our mothers, where would we be? Oh, we wouldn't be. Eve is the mother of all living. Come here. This is my brothers, come here. Can't y'all see the family resemblance? Seriously, even in the flesh, we're all of the same blood. We all have the same mother. Even in the natural, before you got born again. Now we don't always look the same, but the Bible plainly says Eve is the mother of all living. You got that? All right, thank you. Well, but after God made Adam and Eve, then what did He tell them? He says, "You be fruitful. You multiply, you replenish the earth." In other words, I've made man. Now, you two, you make man. And so all the generations, no matter what skin color, no matter what slanty eyes, round eye, almond eye, doesn't matter, they are the progenitors of the entire human race. Now, later on, we're going to get to this later, He made another man. Now, don't throw stones at me. I know Christ has always been. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Without the Word was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek it says, no, not one single thing. I know Christ has always been, but the man Jesus had a beginning. The man Jesus. And we're plainly told He laid down His divinity. He laid it down. He didn't do anything as God once He was manifest in the earth. This is the second man, the last Adam. You'll allow me. God has made two men. He made the first man, Adam, and He made the last man, Adam. Right? By the Holy Spirit, life was quickened in the womb of the virgin. See, I used to think in the old days when I was just religious and didn't understand life, I thought it didn't really matter that much about the virgin birth. If Mary was not a virgin, if Christ was not conceived by a virgin, we're all lost. It's not a little insignificant thing. It is at the heart of the gospel. Because through man, notice it said by man came death, and by man came that redemption. Who is that man? It's the man Jesus Christ, not God. It's the man Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back. Yes, sir. Let's go all the way back now with... No, hang on. First time I've done it this way. Yes, okay. While we've got that train of thought, let's go back to Genesis 1. When I get to maps, I'll let you go. I warned you. Didn't I warn you? Should have put a clock back there. We've all heard this from the time we were all in Sunday school, that in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth, and He made this and He made that. On that day He made the plants, and on that day He made the animals. And every time He would look at it and He'd say it was good. And then finally, when everything was ready, He said, well, it's time to make man. And He's going to make man in His image. And He says, you know, we've seen it where He says He took the dust of the ground and He formed man's body. And then He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We've all heard that from the time of Sunday school, right? But listen, here recently the Holy Spirit has been giving us more light, even on that very passage there. Makes you wonder, if we have to go all the way back to Genesis 1, what else might be in there? If He's having to still teach us Genesis 1. Now, when the Holy Spirit... How many of you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? I mean, it says man wrote these as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Okay? Now, when the Holy Spirit... When He takes it upon Himself to repeat Himself three times in two consecutive verses, you reckon that might be important? He's trying to get something across to us. Now notice in verses Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, He repeats Himself three times in two verses here. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our what? Now notice that. Let us make man. How's He going to make man? In our image, in the image of God. So after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now notice, so God created man in His own what? Image. That's the second time He said it. And just in case you didn't get it, in the what? Image of God created He him. Three times in two verses, man was originally created in the image of God. Now, what does that mean, the image of God? Hebrews, okay, we have time. Go ahead and go in your Bible. I want you to see it in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 3. Let's get the Bible definition of the image of God. Hebrews chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 3. Let's get the Bible definition of the image of God. In fact, we'll start at verse 1 so you'll understand for sure it's talking about Jesus. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by their prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom is the Son, the Word, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express what? The express image of His person. Now that's what I want you to get out of that. Jesus is the express image of God. Let's get it down even more simple. When Jesus was approaching the time of going to the cross and He was explaining to His disciples what was about to happen, Philip said, just show us the Father. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He said, Philip, have you been with Me this long and you don't know who I am? Philip, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. And that's what it means. Jesus is the express image of God. You know why God said in the Old Testament, even in the law, He says, you make no graven image. I don't care whether you love Me, whether you don't love Me. You don't make any image trying to represent God. You know why? Man would get it all messed up. You know? If you were a warlike people, you make Him into a warlike god. You know, we want a strong god, so that's why they build a golden bull. You know, they make a bull. That's God. It's got to be God. Dagon was a fish god, you know, because why? Well, they needed prosperity, and it was a fishing community. So they, oh, God must, he's like a fish, you know, so they had a Dagon. But Dagon found out who he wasn't God. But anyway, that's another lesson. I love that story. Okay, but he says, no, don't you try, even if your best efforts, don't try and provide an image of what I'm like. You'll mess it up. God says, you don't need to provide an image. The day will come, I, God, will provide an image of who I am. And His name is Jesus Christ. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. That's what He said. You want to know the Father? Look at me. I grew up in a church. They love God. They're born again people. They preach the cross accurately. But they didn't know God very well. And they would say things like, see that fire that came and burned your house down? That was God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do y'all see Jesus burning any houses down? Okay, well, that cancer that came on you, you know, that's some kind of, you know, judgment. You were getting all prideful and God's judgment has come on. Do you see Jesus putting cancer or any other kind of sickness on anybody? Well, your business failed because you're just getting a little uppity, you know. And nowadays they'd add, and you wasn't tithing and you wasn't sowing. They'd add all that other stuff. You're under a curse, you know, and, you know, God... Do you see Jesus going around closing anybody's business? The only one I ever saw Him do it was the money changers in the temple, and we still need some of that done. But anyway. Not here. But everywhere, He put me on assignment years ago, 10 years ago, to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, you don't have anything else to do. You go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, until an image of Christ is formed in your spirit and really rises up in your soul so that you cannot be moved anymore. And once you see Jesus, He is the image of God. If you see Him, that's the Father. And Jesus, all the thing I see Him doing, He's saving and blessing and healing and provide. He gives to the poor. The only thing I see is He does good everywhere that He goes. Amen. That's your Father. Amen. Oral had it right all those years ago. God is a good God. Amen. Something good is going to happen to you today. Amen. The first one I ever heard say that, I went, what? Turn the volume up, what? Glory to God. Well, now how does this relate to Adam? Who is the express image of God? Well, Jesus is the express image of God. But now let's go back to Genesis 1, three times in two verses. Let's read it again. I want you to see it in your Bible, verse 26 and 27, at least that part of it. And God said, let us make man in our what? Who is the express image of God? Jesus is the express image. Come on down to verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Now here's where the Holy Ghost is your helper. Most of you know that Pastor Dave taught us years ago, God's Word is your food. The Holy Spirit is like the digestive system. See, this morning, Bronk was asked, he called to see how we're doing. I said, oh, the suffering is terrible, Bronk. When we got to the room yesterday, there was bananas and strawberries and grapes and watermelon and water for us and chocolate cookies and crackers and... And of course I brought my own Starbucks machine. So I said, he says, are you doing okay? I said, the suffering is terrible. They were here eating bananas and strawberries and Bronk. I had to wait almost a minute for my Starbucks coffee to be ready. He said, oh, the suffering. But now the reason I'm bringing that up, see, I did eat a banana this morning. And you know, bananas got all kinds of good stuff in it for you. But if I ate that banana and it went down into my stomach, don't look at my stomach too much, it's pretty big, but anyway. See, even though it has all of these nutrients, if I didn't have a digestive system, it wouldn't do my body any good. That digestive system takes that banana and it starts, I don't really know what it's in the banana, but it starts extracting the vitamins, maybe the niacin, the manganese, whatever's in a banana, it starts extracting all of that out of there and it starts distributing it throughout my body so that my body can have all the benefits of the banana. Did you know the Holy Spirit is your digestive system when it comes to the Word? Most people try to mentally understand the Word. And 1 Corinthians 2 will plainly tell you it's not designed to be mentally understood first. It says the Word of God, the things that God has for His children, are spiritually discerned. That's why the Holy Spirit, I like to call Him now, He is the new creature teacher. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And God gave a teacher for the new creature. And His name is the Holy Ghost. He is the new creature teacher. See? But His job, He'll take the Word of God if you'll let Him. And this is where most of the church has missed it for years. They've tried to mentally understand. Here's a finite mind trying to understand the words of an infinite God. It's no wonder we have, like, every city, 57 flavors of church, you know, 57 flavors of, you know, they're not that they don't love God, but they're going to they're trying to understand it the wrong way. Your intellect was not really designed to process that. Your spirit, what part of you is infinite? Your spirit. Their spirit is the part of you that's made in that likeness of God. And it's your spirit that the Holy Spirit really teaches. Comparing spiritual to spiritual. We could get into Chuck the Duck. Who has never heard of Chuck the Duck? Raise your hand. It's okay. Raise your hand. Okay. Most of you have heard Chuck the Duck. That's Dave's parable to understand it. To explain it and understand it is understand it. But anyway. I cracked me up. That's what Lily said, Papa, that's a good one. Anyway. But the Holy Spirit is your digestive system. This is why adding praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaking mysteries. I never forget the first time I heard Dave explain that verse. He says, now two things we know for sure out of that verse. When you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're not really speaking to men. You're talking to God, right? We got that. Talking to God. And the second thing we know is mysteries are being communicated. Then he asked this wonderful question. Now, how many of you think that you are explaining mysteries to God? No. He takes that opportunity to explain mysteries to you. And he does it spirit to spirit. Like Chuck the Duck. Chuck, as long as Chuck was under the ministry of chickens, he couldn't know anything but chicken things. It had to be a duck that came, something of the same species, that began explaining duck things to little Chuck. So that he wasn't bound to the chicken yard anymore. But eventually he could fly. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit's doing with us. We've been living on chicken food way too long. It's time for us to receive spirit food directly from the spirit teacher. Learn how to flap our wings and fly. Amen? Amen? Well, here's how the Holy Spirit came to my aid to understand this whole thing about Adam being made in the image of God. I knew he was trying to get... I mean, that's not normal. You don't normally find the Holy Spirit repeating himself three times in two verses. I said, I'm missing something. So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and just doing what we're taught to do and assimilating the Word, you know. And you can't really force these things, but if you keep doing them all the time, they just happen. One day I'm going through there again, and I had what I call a teaching vision. This is the Holy Spirit, your teacher, come to explain it to you. And I heard that whole story from the time I was in Sunday school as a little boy. God made the dust out of, you know, He made the body out of the dust of the ground and He breathed in. I knew that story, but suddenly I saw it in a movie form. And I saw the second member of the Godhead. Let me say it this way. The pre-incarnate Christ. Before we knew Him as Jesus, He's always been. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. How do I know it was Him? I don't know how you know those things in a vision. You just know. I saw Him and He was holding that lifeless body of Adam. There it was. And it's Christ. And all of a sudden I saw Him just lean over like this. And from the inside of Himself, He wasn't breathing oxygen into the man. He was breathing life. And He breathed His own nature. Something from the inside of Him. He breathed the nature of the Son of God into Adam. Now, Adam was not God. He was never intended to be God. Adam was a man made in God's image. When it says in the likeness of God, what that means is God's original plan for mankind, He was going to have a species of people on this planet who had the nature of God on the inside. Had the nature of the Son. Let me show you one more witness. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Go to Luke chapter 3 just for a moment. And by the way, I'm going to jump over. Come the rest of this week if you can. We're going to give enough today to hopefully entice you. But if this is the only one you can come to, they will be eventually be available online. Probably, I know for sure at my website, I don't know, they might be available here too, but you can get them. But if you can come, I think, just like right now, he's breaking more. You're going to see, we haven't got to the new part yet, but he's breaking this revelation even more, and he may do so the rest of this week. So if you can come, come. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay. Luke chapter 3. I never forget the first time the Holy Spirit showed me this. If it hadn't been in my Bible, I wouldn't have believed it myself. I used to get so bored with the begats. So-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. Dave, are we really supposed to assimilate? Yes, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. Boring numbers. You ever go through numbers? 144,000 of these compared to 122,000 of those compared to 46 of them. And you go, God. But everything in there has a meaning. Everything in there, it's not in there for no reason, you know. Well, this one, here's this. This is the genealogy of Joseph. And this one doesn't, even though Joseph was not the literal father of Jesus, yet his lineage goes all, we have it all the way back to Adam. There's not many people that you have their lineage all the, many of them have it back to Abraham, but not many have it all the way back to Adam. You know, look at this guy. And so here we've got the lineage all the way back. Now we're not going to read it all, aren't you? Everyone say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not going to read it all. But let's pick it up in verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the creation of God. Is that what yours says? What does it say? Which was the son of God. He was the offspring of God. Now see, in my Bible, the son, every one of those is in italics. Meaning, you know, in the original Greek, it's not really there. But they didn't do any injustice by adding it. That's exactly what it's talking about. So-and-so who was the son of so-and-so who was the son of so-and-so, going all the way back to Adam who was the son of God. Now, does it mean Adam was God? No, we're not saying that at all. He didn't say that. He says, I'm not making another God. He says, I'm making a man. And I'm making that man in my image. All right, now, I'm going to quickly go through this part. Y'all, okay, I'm going to do this part quickly. Yes, sir, I see how to do it. Hey, y'all know Adam fell? Good, we're over that part. Now, man fell. Now, I need someone to represent Adam. Would you mind to come up and sit in this chair? There's a reason I'm going to make it comfortable for you. All right? This is the first man, Adam. Doesn't he look like he was made in the image of God? Yeah. Absolutely made in it. Now, I need a patriarch, someone to represent God the Father. Boy, this looks like a patriarch to me right here. Would you mind to come up and sit in that chair for a while? At least I got you.
I doubt it.
Well, at least I got you a chair, so it'll be a little more comfortable. You can move it back a little bit. It's kind of close to the edge here. I don't want the father to fall. Well, he said, look how tall he is. Good Lord. Yeah, I got the right one. I got the right guy. Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, father, son. See, we got this? Okay. All right. I'm going to represent Adam for right now. All right, so Adam, I'm going to represent the first, you know, the species, the line of people that came through Adam. See, Adam, when they fell, the big question has always been, well, couldn't God just forgive them? I mean, why go through all of this for thousands of years and creating Israel, and then eventually the seed would come and Jesus and dying on the cross? And couldn't God just forgive them once they fell? Well, God did forgive them. If you'll really read it, and we'll get into that maybe more during this week, it says that He clothed them in animal skins. Where did those skins come from? See, that's the first physical death recorded in the Bible. Something innocent, right there, right in the beginning, something innocent had to die, pointing to the day when the Lamb of God, Jesus, would come and die. God clothed them with those animal skins. And you got to understand at that moment, stand up a minute, Adam. At that moment, now I'm not trying to, you know, we're in church, but the whole human race was in the loins of Adam. When God clothed Adam with that animal skin, He was saying, I'm going to provide forgiveness for every single person that's ever going to. Doesn't mean it's automatic, but God's providing it. You can sit back down. The whole human race was in Adam. Can you see that? Eve is the mother of all living, but Adam is the father of all living. He's the father of the flesh. Well, y'all know what happened. Generation. Yes, sir. Let me do this part first. Now, quickly, I'm going to go through this. Even though the line of Adam was made originally in the image of God, when Adam fell, it wasn't just a matter of, oh, forgive me. What happened, that spirit that was on the inside of him, that was righteous and holy and breathed into him by the second member of the Godhead himself, it changed. Adam became a twisted, different kind of creature. Again, praying in the Holy Ghost one time, God showed it to me like this. Now, I know physically Adam, this didn't happen to Adam, but in his spirit, from far as God's concerned, it did. You know, you remember how Adam went and hid himself behind the fig tree? Or put the fig leaves, you know? And God's going, where art thou? Like God didn't know. Where art thou? And Adam comes around. What I saw in this vision, when Adam come around from behind that bush, he's going, Father, can't you forgive me? But he was no longer in his spirit made in the image of God. He had become a sinful. What I saw was like hunchback and twisted, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to anybody, but it's got any, but all hunched over like this, and drool was coming out of his mouth, and his skin was green, and he had three eyeballs, and tentacles was coming out of his head. I mean, God was doing everything in his vision to show me in the spirit, he was no longer in God's image. And he comes out from around behind that bush, and he's going, God, can't you just forgive me? God's looking at him going, here, I'm going to cover you with this animal skin that is pointing to the day when my son will die for you, but I'm going to provide forgiveness. But son, we've got a lot bigger problem than that. Son, I don't want to forgive you and leave you like this. I want you back the way I originally made you.
Yes.
I'm going to provide a Redeemer who someday will come.
Yes.
You'll not only be forgiven, be back the way I made you, made in God's image. Can you see that? Can you see that? Now, what I saw this morning that I didn't see up there, and this will be sufficient, I think, for today. Here I saw the generations. Okay, this is Adam. Okay, do this. You're twisted. You got there. Okay, all right. You don't have to stay there. You got it? Now the whole line is twisted. Now, what I didn't really get until recently, you know what my favorite chapter in the Bible was most of my Christian life? Hebrews 11. You know why? All my heroes are in it. Noah. Abraham. How about Moses? Man, all those signs and wonders and turn the sea. Man, you know how many? Anyway. I call down frogs upon them, Lord. No, anyway. King David. Samson. Barak. Jephthah. I mean, man, all of my heroes through all the Old Testament, you know. It took a long... You know what it says near the end of that chapter, though? It says, these all, having received a good report through faith, died receiving not the promise. And I'm going, what? They all died receiving not the promise. God having something better in store for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Then he goes into chapter 12, which right now I'll just mention verse 2. See, my whole life... We've patterned our faith after Noah. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, David. By faith, this one and that one. And you could add Gary and Sue. By faith, Gary. By faith, Sue. We've had miracles doing, you know, patterning ourselves after the faith of these heroes. And we can learn a lot from them. But do you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? We'll get into this during the week. It says, we're supposed to not... It says, looking unto... Does it say looking unto Moses? Does it say looking unto David? Who does it say? Looking unto who?
Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm going, oh my God. Every victory we've had, we've basically been using the faith... Are you ready for this? Don't throw stones. Of spiritually dead people. Now, I love... Don't get mad at me. I love Moses. I love David. Man, these are my heroes. Are you kidding? Noah? God says, it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. Build an ark. And he goes, okay, by the way, what's rain? It had never rained. You talk about faith. But yet, now, again, don't throw stones. It only recently dawned on me. Every one of those guys in their spirit had that twisted nature. Not one of them could be born again. In fact, it makes them even more hero to me that with a sin nature, somehow they could overcome it enough to serve God the way that they did. So here's the generations, and here's really the part I saw here this morning. I saw every generation passed down from Adam and Eve. They've all got that twisted nature, no matter whether they serve God or didn't serve God. And, you know, and now here's the father. And they would love God. But God, we want to be with you. We want to serve you. Yes, sir. I said Luke 15, and this is where this comes in. Y'all know this story. It's the prodigal son. A certain man had two sons, starting in verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. When he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, it doesn't get any lower for a Jew. I'm just telling you straight. I'm not supposed to eat pigs anyway. And to get so low, where not only are you feeding the pigs, but you're so low that you're actually thinking about putting your face in the trough with the pigs and eating the same food they're eating. Does it get any lower than that? That's what the devil had done to man. Brought him from his original state, feeding with the pigs. Look at this. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. That always gives me pause right there. I didn't get saved till I was 33, and I was raised in church. I knew better, but I ran from God for a long time. How did he see him a long way off? If you'll allow me, he was out on the front porch looking. He was looking down that dusty road saying, maybe today is the day my boy's going to come home. That father was looking. I'm telling you, my father was not willing to go through eternity without me. He sent labor after labor till finally he got me. And I'm telling you now, he's not going to have to come find me again. But anyway, his father saw him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And here's the son starting into his little prepared speech. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And I said all that to get to this verse. For this my son was lost. Is that what your Bible says? For years I've read it that way. Now, are we supposed to seek and save the lost? Absolutely. Did not Jesus say, I have come to seek and save the lost? But see, the problem is not just that they're lost. It's a bigger problem than that. The problem is they're dead. Look at it. It's in your Bible. This, my son, was dead and is alive again. Then he said he was lost and is found. But the reason for that is he was dead. That's the real problem. Back in the garden, God's going, I could forgive you, but now you are spiritually dead. The problem is you're not just lost, son. You're dead. You're dead. You're spiritual death. So again, here's what I saw. Down through the generations, you had men that wanted to return to God. I mean, they're trapped over here. There's God, but they're trapped in this lineage now, this fallen species of man twisted in their spirit. I want to come to you. And they would worship God, but nothing. So you could try and live righteously. You try to do better, but doing better doesn't change who you are. It couldn't change their nature. The problem was death. And God even gave them, if you'll allow, okay, here's the father. I'm Moses now. Give it. Thank you. Here's the law. The Father, he says, because man thought he could just go to the Father by, you know, by doing better. I'll keep your law. Remember the guy in Romans 7? The guy in Romans 7 says, with my mind, I agree that your law is holy and good and I want to keep it. That'll get me back to the Father. So man for hundreds of years tried to keep the law. Just like the guy in Romans 7, he says, that thing that I've been doing that's wrong, I'm not ever going to do that again. And that good thing that I haven't been doing, that's what I'm going to do. And he tries his best. So did everybody, so did all of Judea, so did all those, so did Israel. All those guys. And all of them found out the same thing. I can't keep it. What's wrong with me? This is what's wrong with you. You've got the sin nature. But I want to return to my Father's house. I want to return. How do I return? I've tried. I've tried being good. I've tried going to church. I've sowed my best seed. I've given my tithe. I've done everything I can do. But I can't return to my Father's house. And then one day Jesus came. We were in another man's church. Always make the pastor Jesus. Now, up at Jim Martin's, I made him the devil. But here, you're Jesus. So, here's a man over here, Romans 7. I've tried everything. I've been good. I've tried best. I've given all that I have. I love you, Father. I want to come to you, Father, but I can't return to your house. How do I do what the prodigal did? How do I return to my Father's house? Hold your arms out like you're on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way to return to the Father's house, you've got to go through Jesus. And it's not a religious thing. You can't join a church and it happen. You can't be good and it happen. You must be born again. You literally, when you receive Jesus, you are baptized into His death. That old nature in you is put to death. He breathes on you again, the breath of life, and you come out on the other side. And finally now, you're a product of the last man, Adam, and you're back in the Father's house. There's no other way. There is no other way. Muslims won't. Islam can't do that for you. Buddhism can't do that for you. The whole human race is a product of the fallen man, Adam. No man comes to the Father but by me. It is Christ or perish for the world. And I don't care if they'll kill us for preaching that. It's okay. All we do is graduate to heaven. What's the worst they can do? Lord, that's how you return to your Father's house. And there is no other way. Now the problem is, I wish I had a big bag of dirty laundry with me. See, because when I pass through here, if we went to Ephesians right now, when I got born again, we'd go to Ephesians 4 right now, and it tells you, when you got born again, you need to see that in your Bible. So y'all just stay here for a minute. Just stay right here for a minute. Go to Ephesians 4. I want you to see this in this lesson. We'll get more into it later. Look at this. Did you, that instant when you received Jesus, your spirit was recreated? Ephesians 4. We look at three verses, 22, 23, and 24. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life, the old man. That's that guy there, the old man. This guy. Put him off because he is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now that's the dirty laundry. Okay, now watch this. Why? Why did you have to do that? That you put on the new man. Now notice which after God. You look that up in the Amplified. You look it up in any other version. And it says in God's image is created from the get-go. That part of you that is born of God, that new spirit. I mean, when I passed through Christ, my old nature died. He put a new spirit on the inside of me. That part of me is created after God. It is created once more in God's image. For all practical purposes, the second man, the last Adam, again, breathed the breath of life into me. And Gary became a living son of God. And I've got, and from the get-go, created, notice, in righteousness and true holiness. Not man's version of holiness. True holiness towards God. there is in me already the seed of the new nature. There is the seed of righteousness and true holiness. Now, if I had that big bag of dirty laundry, there's something else that came with me through this process. And it's called my soul. James calls it the residue of wickedness. Here's another word. Anyway, it's all this, all the baggage that you bring with you. In your spirit, we're righteous and true and holy before God. The Father could not be more proud of you. Pat me on the shoulder. You really like me a lot. He says, put the fatted, don't put the fatted calf on him. No, put the robe on him. Give him a ring and sandals and go to Rib City. Kill the fatted pig. No, okay, calf. Okay, it's got to be. He could not be more proud of me. My son who was lost. Worse than that, my son who was dead. He is alive again. Restored back to me. What is all this dirty laundry you brought? We had a daughter go to college for a long time. We were always glad to see her when she come home on the weekends. With the dirty laundry. Happy to see her. And Sue's going, I love you. Oh, my goodness. A lot of dirty laundry. We do that exact thing with God. And it's all this in the soul. All of the misunderstanding. It's wrong thinking. Wrong doctrine. It's in mine and Sue's case, we didn't get saved till we was 33. So get this. My soul, my intellect, my will, my emotions. For 33 years had been trained by a death nature and grew up in a fallen world. And I think my soul knows how to function as a son of God. I've been born again out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. My daddy's so proud. He's so happy to have me back. Man, it's a party in heaven. It says heaven rejoices more over one sinner than repents of 99 that are already there. But he's looking at my soul. He's looking at my wrong thinking. See, and he's going, son, I have a teacher for you. It's not an angel. It's the third member of the Godhead himself. It is the Holy Spirit. Son, if you'll sit here and just let him teach you, he will become your personal trainer, your personal tutor. He's eternal, so he has all of eternity just for you. And if you'll let him, he'll take that soul, we'll clean out all the garbage, we'll get rid of. Not only is it wrong thinking, it's emotions too, hurts and wounds and things. We carry a lot of that over with us. It's not that we're not born again. We just don't know how to function as sons in the kingdom of God. Thank y'all. Y'all can be seated. Didn't they do good? Thank you. All right. Now I'm going to whet your appetite just a little more. Go to Hebrews 12. Because it says, looking unto Jesus. Well, I saw that. Now I'm going, my God, Bronk. We were talking about this up there in Ohio. We're going, and it's not like God doesn't honor that faith. I mean, most of the victories we've ever had has been the Noah kind of faith and the Abraham kind of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we've had all kinds of miracles and victories. And but I said, you know, it's just now dawning on me. We've hardly know anything about faith, the Jesus kind. Religion puts him up so far above all of us, which he is. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm belittling. No, what he's trying to do is bring us up to be seated where he is. Did you know Ephesians says? We don't have any trouble with him seated at the right hand of God, whose name is far above every name that is named, not only in this world, you know, is above all principality and power and might. We make songs about that. We should, you know. Did you know that it says in that same, the very next chapter, it says, and you hath he quickened, you hath he raised up together with him, and we are seated together in him in that same place? And we go, what? What? Well, that what is what he's got us here for this week. Hebrews 12. Yes, sir. See, right after he talks about, look at verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, he's talking about a whole new kind of faith. This is for those of you that's been down the born again trail, you know what he's really talking about here? We have something that David never had, Moses never had, none of them had. None of the promise. You know what we have? The standing of sonship. We have the standing of sonship. Jesus said, my glory give I unto you. Now, again, if you've listened to Dave, if you had Arnold Schwarzenegger's glory, what would you have? You'd look like Bronk.
Oh,
Yeah, see. If you had the computer nerd's glory, what would you have? You'd be able to hack into the FBI files. You know, you could do all of that kind of stuff, you know. If you had Sue's glory, you'd be the prettiest thing on earth. Which is not real good for men, but for women it's great. Now the point is, we understand all that, but what did we get when Jesus said, "My glory I give unto you"? What did He give us? What did we get? The standing of sons in our Father's house. We're supposed to operate by the same understandings, the same... You know, sons just operate different than employees. Sons function in a different way. Sons function as heirs. They're not sowing and reaping minded. They're not sharecropper minded. They are inheritance minded. That same chapter now. We say, "Well, I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about operating as a son of God in the..." How in the world do you do that? Come on down. Look at verse 5. In the same chapter where he talks about looking unto Jesus, it's like he knows the next question. How do we do that? Verse 5. "You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." And we all run from that verse. Oh, chastening. In the next verse or two, he says scourging. Oh, we don't want that either. You know, all we're thinking about is spankings and whoopings. But if you look up that word chastening in Strong's, the first meaning of that Greek word is tutorage, meaning to tutor. He has sent us a tutor. Not just a teacher. A teacher is like what I'm doing now. One voice, many ears. You know, if your child is having trouble in math, can't keep up, well, what does parents do? You hire a tutor. And I mean that tutor, he's not going to teach 25 others. He is going to sit down with your child. And he is going to work with your child until your child gets it. God, the Holy Ghost, will sit down with you. He will sit. He will teach you. He will stay with you. He will go over it 1,000 times. He will bring every example from your life. He knows you personally. He knows what will minister to you. If you'll allow Him, He's smarter than you are dumb. He's better at His job than we are slow to learn. He will get it across to you until we get it.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. The new creature teacher. That's who He is. No wonder the church, though, hasn't really walked in the same... We go, "Well, how come we don't see Him walking like Jesus? He said, the works that I do shall you do also." And we're going, "We're not arguing with you. We read those words, but Lord, when we try, we fail." Why? We've not sat in the classrooms of the new creature teacher. We've not sat with the one that He said, "This is the one I sent to school you." The Spirit of Truth, He will guide you, not push you, not force you. He will guide you into all truth. Father, Thy word is truth. See you tonight. Hallelujah. If you can come. Now, can y'all tell I like this? Do you know this is what keeps me so young and good looking? I'm telling you, pray until you find what He called you to do. You know that a wise man said, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Man, you find what He's called you to do. It heats my chili, spins my prop. I'm telling you, I'm not burning out. I'm burning in. Can you tell? I'm even healthier this year than I was last year. I've got a miracle in my body, man. Let's go. Hallelujah. Praise God. At the end of this week, all this week, we're going to be talking about who you are in Christ. See, and it doesn't matter who you think you are. You're not who you think you are. You know why we don't think right about ourselves? We are so intimately acquainted with our own faults and failings. And they're before us all day, every day. Every day. You know, even with trying our best. The other day, Sue said something or other, and she said, "Well, would you like to?" I think we were going to go eat or something. She said, "Would you like to?" And I said, "Well, I just told you I want to." She went, "Would you like to?" Even with our... And I'm going, how dumb can a guy breathe? It be and still breathe. I'm just going, how can I not get that? See, we're so intimately acquainted with those kind of things. And so we think, I'm just a slime, I'm a dog, I'm a worm. And the devil, he puts a lot of that in there on you, you know, the accuser of the brethren. Pretty soon you're just thinking, I just want to make heaven now. I just hope I slide into heaven. Maybe I can go into... Maybe I got a back door, you know, slide into heaven, you know. And nothing was further from the truth. See, who you really are is who God says you are. What we've done here, I've got this document. This is available at the website. It's free. You go, what it is, we took every verse in the New Testament that says, in Christ, in Him, in whom, by whom, through His blood, by His redemption, anything like that that tells you who you are. We took all of those verses first and put them in this document. Then, now I went through and there's nothing magic about this. You can make your own confessions, but I went through and I took every verse and I went ahead and made it into a present tense now confession. So I can do like Abraham. God said to Abram, you're no longer Abram. I say you are Abraham. Well, that means I am the father of a multitude. So he had to start saying that about himself, calling those things which be not as though they were, because that's what God said. And he wasn't lying. You're not lying when you say what God says. So we've taken all of these. Let me just read you one to whet your appetite. These are available for you. You go to GaryCarpenter.org, click on the media button, and one of those things there says printed materials. Click on printed materials, and one of those documents there is the In Him Confessions. You say, Gary, I don't have a computer. I don't have the internet. I don't know anything. There is a teenager on your block who for $10 will do all of this for you. And I am warning you, it's 26 pages long. 26 pages. And we left the verses there and the confessions. Now, just for one, here's Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Here's the confession. Now I've had some time, see. I have been, now read it again, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You got that? Here's the confession. I have been declared just in the sight of God. I am redeemed by grace alone. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't pay the price. It was free to me. But Jesus paid a terrible price to redeem me. Redemption means I have been cleared by payment. Jesus took my guilt and paid the price in full with His own blood. And I am justified because of payment in full. No accusations against me have any legal standing before God. Now that's just one. There's 130 some odd of these. You can't tell me. No, we're going to get, before the week's out, we're going to get to Romans 12, verse 2. That you no longer be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a tool that you can use. You don't need this to get into heaven. Hey, the blood is enough. Hey, by grace you're saved through faith. But if you want to go through this transformation process, if you want a tool that can help you do that, I highly recommend it. Again, it's free. You can afford it.